Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to The Elephant in the Room here on WJAS 1320 AM at Talk 99.1 FM. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, and I'm joined in studio today by a special guest. But before we get to him, it's sort of sad because we have our producer, Dazzling Dandy Daryl Grandy, here today.
We're missing somebody.
We are. We're missing my trusty executive director.
Where's that guy?
John Snyder.
Where's he at?
Well, I said sad, but not really, because the good news is John's getting some much-needed rest.
Oh, okay.
You know, and needed a few days off. We gave it to him, yeah. And look forward to having him back next week.
Oh, good.
Okay?
You legitimately have him when you said sad. I'm like, what?
Well, I mean, folks, our listeners
sad
can't.
Sad in the moment.
Our listeners can't see the smile on my face, but I'm just saying, we've had a string. John is just a tremendous individual and probably the best executive director that I've been around or been associated with here, and does a phenomenal job for all the folks here in Allegheny County, particularly for the party and all of our local committees.
He's a champion for it, and admittedly, I don't know like the line item details of what executive director does, but he is somebody who is always front and center for the party. He's always a champion for it. He's always making sure that it's almost like a coordinator, right? Making sure like all the players are in the right places for the right place.
Well, the short answer, Daryl,
yes.
Is what he does is he does everything.
Everything, sure.
Whatever's required.
Right.
Okay.
Which is important.
So these guys, he runs the offices, he manages the membership.
Sure.
He helps people with graphics, he sets up the meetings, he arranges, pays the bills, sets up the phone calls. I mean, he does the newsletters, all the communication emails. He prepares and sends out my press releases.
Sure.
I mean, John does it all. Okay. So phenomenal guy, phenomenal job. So we were kidding here. But John's fine, and he'll be back next week.
Because we know this is the part he listens to. He listens to the show before he puts it on the website.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have some fun.
He never listens to the 25th minute. No, he listens to the first two.
There you go. Yeah, well, I know from watching, because he sits across the table, he doesn't fall asleep.
Oh, right.
So we're good with that, right? Yeah. Doesn't say much.
No.
But he's always here. But hey, folks, we have a great show for you today. I want to tell you the Marines have landed, okay? Hoorah.
Hoorah.
That's right, yes. So I'm joined in studio today by a good friend and a tremendous Republican and young and rising leader here in the Republican Party and here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That is John David Longo, the mayor of Slippery Rock. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Sam, thank you very much for having me back on, sir. It's always a pleasure to join you down here in Allegheny County in beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Happy to be here.
Well, we're always happy to have you, my friend. Now, hey, coming down from Butler County, I just got to ask, did you bring me any more Republicans? Because you guys have done a phenomenal job. You got a red county, and
sure.
I need some more help here, my friend.
I'm sorry, Sam. I know we've been stealing a few Republicans from you, but I can tell you, though, that the energy on the ground in Allegheny County is electrifying. You guys down here with the RCAC are doing a great job in engaging with the conservative voters, and I'm sure that you're going to deliver for Republicans up and down the ballot here in 2024 with all the great work you're doing.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words. I mean, we are trying, and we're doing the best we can. And we're confident that things are moving in the right direction here, and you see it. I mean, I think I saw some things shared today, JD, and I'm going to call, for our listeners here, John David goes by JD,
Thank you.
I'm going to call him JD here. But JD, I saw today someone had shared with me a screenshot, from voter registration changes in the month of June here, okay? In Pennsylvania, you've had Republicans have gained 9,035 registered voters. Again, that's 9,035.
Incredible.
Democrats have lost 240.
Yeah.
And this is despite their organized efforts to try to take and recruit and register voters to vote. Now, both of those numbers were dwarfed by all others, 15,200. So I think what that's an indication of is that people are fleeing the Democrat Party, and they're either registering Republicans,
mm-hmm.
or for the ones who deem that as a bridge too far,
right?
Or going as an independent or unaffiliated, but they see where the Democratic Party is today with the hardcore progressives, politics of the folks like the squad, and they're saying, hey, this isn't my parents' or my grandparents' mm-hmm. Democrat Party, and it's not mine either.
Certainly.
And now they're leaving. So these things, all of these taken into consideration with everything else that's happening, those all portend positively for Republicans here as we look forward to the November election. do they not?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And to your point about the organization of the Democratic Party, I would just say that this is the writing on the wall for the proof that is the disorganization of Democrat politics. And one thing moreover, Sam, past the social issues that they have made a mockery of on the left side of the aisle, look at the economic standpoint that the Democratic Party likes to shove in the face of decent Americans and Pennsylvania citizens. Normal, everyday Americans are having a tough time putting food on the table. When they go to the grocery store, they feel the sting. When they fill their pump, they feel the sting. And I can't tell you how many individuals I know who are left-leaning or typically vote Democrat and are on the left side of the aisle who have said, my pocketbook just can't take this any longer, and I'm voting for Donald Trump, and I'm voting for Dave McCormick, and I'm voting for those candidates because I don't know that I'm going to be able to continue to provide for my family. And for that, we thank the Democratic Party for showing the American people who they are and that their policies are not just going to dismantle the very fabric of American society as you and I know it, but that they're going to bankrupt Americans.
Well, I couldn't have said it better, okay? You're absolutely right. And when we start to talk about economics, I mean, really, folks have been hammered. You know, under former President Trump, it basically, every family, it was like a $4,200 per family income increase. Under President Biden, they've actually lost. It's minus $2,500. And that's because inflation has outpaced and outstripped the growth in wages, okay? So we have gasoline that's up 50%. You have food prices, which are up over 20%.
Right.
You have mortgage rates, which have more than doubled, making, you know, homes basically unaffordable for even the middle class.
Sure.
Right now, you know, and there's no end in sight. Okay. So we have a lot of challenges.
Yes, sir.
You know, but hey, good news, because help is on the way. And you have some big news, my friend.
I have some great news.
Because, you know, as we broadcast here on Saturday afternoon, the big man himself is coming to Butler County.
Yes, sir.
This evening,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Oh, thank God. You know, it just feels so good to be back. You know, I think about this time now, Sam, and I think about the energy, the electricity that was in the air back in 2016, but particularly in Butler County on Halloween night of 2020 when Donald J. Trump was able to grace us with his presence in Butler County and one of his largest rallies ever, nearly 60,000 people. And I just can't wait to see that reproduced again. And I really think that we're going to deliver for the president when it comes to getting out and showing him that we're here to support him. And of course, you know, our neighbors in Allegheny County are going to be right there with us.
Well, absolutely. And I was there in 2020. And I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. That crowd was electric. You know, and I walked away from that event, you know, believing there was no way
right.
that President Trump was not going to be reelected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. But folks, you know, whatever happened, happened, and it's in the past. Our focus now is on November 2024.
Absolutely.
And I know my focus here in Allegheny County is making sure that everything from an election perspective is handled appropriately here.
Right.
And I'm trying to check all the boxes and do everything we can to ensure that the elections here are secure. We need to do that not just here, not just in Butler County, not just throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but we need to do that across the entire country.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're grateful for the work that you're doing there, Sam, leading the way in a vital, crucial county like Allegheny.
Well, our listeners know, most of them do, but just to clarify for any that don't, Allegheny County, the second most populous county in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, also has more registered Republicans in it than any other county in the state. We have approximately 260,000 registered Republicans here, you know, but 510,000 registered Democrats. So we're outnumbered.
Wow.
But really, if we can take and if we can deliver 40% of the vote for former President Trump, he will become the 47th president of the United States.
Absolutely.
Because that's the watermark there.
Yes, sir.
That we need to hit in Allegheny County. Mm-hmm. And then the T and everywhere else, we'll just bring this thing home. So I'm excited about
more. It. You and me both, sir. You and me both. I feel very good, very hopeful for the potential for success here in this cycle.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what else is exciting? I saw the other day, Remington Group put out a poll, and President Trump isn't the only one surging in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but Dave McCormick is now within 1 point.
Excellent.
1 point of Bob Casey. And we know that, you know, this far out from the election,
yeah,
the trend lines are going. Bob Casey having been an incumbent, you know, being an incumbent for having been in office for almost 18 years.
Sure.
You know, I certainly don't want to be him right now.
Right. No, absolutely not. People are tired of career politician, Sam. You know, there's one thing to be in public service for a long time. It's an entirely other thing to be deeply entrenched in the swamp that is D.C. politics for so long, and especially for as long as somebody like Bob Casey. You know, and let's face it, we have a president right now that's been in office for 54 years, who's been an utter failure over the majority of those 54 years, if not the entirety of it. And unfortunately for Mr. Casey, that's how Pennsylvanians are starting to view him and his tenure in the United States Senate. We're ready for new blood. We're ready for conservative political policies that are going to bring everybody up on every level. You know,
absolutely.
A rising tide raises all ships, does it not? So really hopeful for what the future will bring with a Senator McCormick to deliver for Pennsylvanians and for the entirety of the United States.
I think it's important, okay, because this isn't just about us here locally. You know, you're really, to your point there, having Republicans controlling the United States Senate means that they can set the agenda,
right,
and they can deliver on many of the promises or many of the things that need to take place in order to restore this country and put it back on a path to prosperity.
Absolutely.
Because right now we have some significant problems. I mean, you know, you talk about deficits under former President Trump. Well, the biggest deficit took place in 2020 in the midst of a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But here you have Joe Biden, okay, despite having passed a couple of bills which did nothing more than ignite like rocket fuel,
right?
You know, and set inflation soaring. But we're looking at an over $2 trillion deficit this year. This stuff is not sustainable.
Shameful.
You know, it absolutely isn't. So I'm very excited about it. And when you talk to some folks who aren't paying attention, you know, who don't follow politics or aren't even, you know, necessarily Republicans, but, you know, you bring up Bob Casey, and they'll say, well, you know, well, what's he done wrong?
Right.
And my question to them is, what's he done right? You know, because that's the whole thing. He hasn't done anything.
No.
In almost 18 years.
You're right. You're right. And we felt it. We felt the sting of his policies. And it just kills me, Sam, how he's able to run around Pennsylvania and he does his little brewery tours. I mean, it's fantastic to support small businesses, of course. But who are you trying to fool, Bob? You know, we know who you are. You exist in a marshmallow world so far beyond what the reality of the situation is on the ground for everyday Pennsylvanians. You don't represent our interests. And then furthermore, he has the gall to stand on stage and talk about helping to save jobs and create new jobs. You know, I want to remind you, Sam, just in 2024 alone, you know, our own UPMC had 1,000 layoffs. If that's not indicative or representative of the failures of the Democratic platform and the platform that is propagated by Senator Casey, mm-hmm. then I don't know what is.
Well, and I think you know, I remember back in 2006 when Casey defeated Rick Santorum in a very tough year for Republicans. I mean, it was at the height of the Iraq War, and you had we had a tremendous number of problems that was part of the time when the surge was taking place,
right,
with former President Bush sending additional troops under General Petraeus,
right,
you know, to Iraq to try to take and put down the insurgency. But you know, Casey had gone on television, I believe it was Meet the Press at the time, and was talking about, hey, if you have two politicians that vote the same way 98% of the time, you don't need one of them. Well, those words should come back to haunt him right now, okay?
Sure.
Because he's certainly not needed here,
mm-hmm.
because he votes with Joe Biden like 98.5% of the time.
Right.
And he votes with him on things that hurt and harm the people of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we can see that represented in the near catastrophic failure that would have been a loss of jobs at Cleveland Cliffs. Those policies directly impacted negatively the employees at Cleveland Cliffs and Butler, and thankfully they were able to be rolled back. But what kills me about it, Bob, is that, again, you have Senator Casey, you have our governor, you have our president of the United States and his administration that put these policies in place that put blue-collar workers at places like Cleveland Cliffs at risk, and then they had the gall to stand up there on stage and applaud one another for saving these jobs. I'm here to remind you, you know, you're the one that put them in danger, so how dare you try to use these folks as political pawns now during election season. And you know, thank God we are in the middle of a contested election season, a presidential cycle, because I'm not sure they would have done anything to help these people if they weren't concerned about losing the election.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Mayor, and thank you so much. Please carry that message throughout Butler County, because it's important for folks to know that. I mean, I recognize that it's like, wait a minute. You guys are the one that pulled this rule out of your butt, okay?
Yeah.
And you're going to take and force these folks to do this. And it had to do with the type of steel that would be used in the manufacture of transformers, right? But what happened was it was the EPA that was taking and floating this rule, which may have required that plant to close down, and it would have cost at least 1,300 jobs.
Yes, sir.
And we're talking about jobs that pay like a total of $100,000 a year.
Right.
These are good paying, family-sustaining jobs, you know, and then they come back and say, well, no, you know, we're not, we're gonna allow that to go here, okay? For how long?
Right.
How do we know after the election they don't continue to put that rule in place? And this is the beauty of the Chevron decision that the Supreme Court put down, because prior to that, if they would have put that rule in place, wouldn't have been anything anybody could do.
Yeah.
But now folks would have the opportunity to challenge it.
Absolutely.
And to sue on it. So, I mean, folks, there are some great things happening on the conservative side, or let's say pro-American side here.
Absolutely.
Okay? If you believe in freedom, you know? But we just need to talk about it a little bit more so folks understand.
Absolutely, sir. Yeah, and that's why programs like this are so important in a time like this. In a time where everybody likes to say that fake news is so prominent and what have you, it's good to have local voices that are here on the ground like yours that are able to pass this information along outside of the influence of big government and outside of the influence of big media and all of those other great lobbying groups that like to feed us only what they want us to know and not highlight these great many failures that you and I see and observe every day.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. You know, and you know, you mentioned fake news there, and I think you know, you hear a lot of I hear the folks on the left always complaining about lies and things like that,
right,
or you know, misinformation or disinformation, and then I sit there and look at their tweets and their posts and things like that, and I'll give you a pure example here. They're trying to bash President Trump on Project 2025.
Oh my.
Okay. And, you know, the President Trump came out and said, look, I don't know anything about this. You know, good luck to those folks, but I have nothing to do with it. It's not my campaign, the whole bit. The folks from Project 25, and Project 2025, folks, the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank, they just have a bunch of folks that have gotten together to try to come up with what they believe would be a conservative plan for anybody that wanted to govern conservatively, you know, for a presidential transition.
Right.
But you know, the American First Policy Institute for President Trump, they're doing their thing.
Yes, sir.
You saw the Republican platform released by President Trump. You know, that's the thing that he's standing behind.
Right.
Okay. And I think the left is just so desperate to change the topic from anything but the brain-addled nominee that they have.
Right.
You know, that they'll take and smear, you know, Donald Trump on the one hand, and then they'll complain about disinformation and untruth on the other.
Sure.
It's just insane.
Sure. And say what you want about President Trump, but nobody can say that he hasn't been consistent on his platform and his stances on everything since day one. Back when he came down the elevator and told us all that he was going to go off on this great experiment to become the president of the United States and lead the free world, we knew exactly what it was that he stood for, and he's been very clear about that. So I'm hopeful and I'm confident, Sam, that the American people are going to be able to see through those lies and know exactly what it is that they can expect with the Trump presidency, and that is all the great things that we enjoyed for 4 years, including cheap gas and cheap groceries and great foreign policy that didn't allow for our adversaries to treat us like idiots on the world stage and embarrass us day after day.
I mean, look at that. Besides the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, where 13 young American men and women serving our great country, you know, were killed in a disastrous withdrawal, okay, in which no one was held accountable.
Right.
And then what does the Biden administration do? Then they take and perpetrate a drone strike on an aid worker, killing him and his children. Again.
Unreal.
No one held accountable.
Right.
Okay. We have the world, the globe is in flames. You have Russia and in Ukraine in what essentially is a meat grinder with hundreds of thousands of casualties on both sides. I mean, folks, you know, if you don't pay attention to what's happening there, you can't imagine the magnitude of the death and the casualties that's occurring. Because, you know, here we've gotten used to war where we have casualties, but we value life. okay? The lives that are being lost there are almost on the scale of like World War II, okay? So it's bad. You have Hamas, you know, taking and attacking and invading Israel. Yeah. You have Iran creating instability everywhere, whether it be with the Houthis firing missiles into the Red Sea, whether it be with Hezbollah in Lebanon, you know, firing missiles into Israel,
right,
whether it's their support for Hamas in Gaza and for every other terrorist organization that they're trying to take and support across the globe.
Sure.
You have China rattling its saber in the South China Sea in regards to Taiwan. You have North Korea testing ballistic missiles. Mm-hmm. You know, you have North Korea and Russia signing a pact where North Korea is supplying war materials and ammunition to Russia for their war in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. China is supplying them with drones.
Sure.
I mean, you have this, we have some significant troubles, and we have a president who, I mean, can't find his way off a stage.
Yeah. Sad. It's sad, honestly, and it's shameful that they're continuing to use him to create this state that's being run virtually by government bureaucratic officials that aren't elected and aren't answerable to any of us, and it's disgusting. You know, anybody who has a family member who's suffered from dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or just simply, you know, from old age can look at that situation and see that something's not quite right. And for anybody to say that they're voting blue no matter who this election, simply to keep Donald J. Trump out of office, you know, it's a travesty, and they're doing an extreme disservice to their fellow countrymen by thinking in that way. It's obvious to us all, Sam, and even to the Democratic Party, who many of which are saying he needs to step down or go.
Right.
It's obvious that he's just not fit to lead any longer. And again, I'm confident that the American people are going to express that in the ballot box whenever the time comes.
Well, I'm hopeful that they will. I think, you know, I, for our listeners here, my career was in sales. So my job was to take in, you know, worked with different businesses to try to get them to purchase our equipment, our software, our labor in the document management field or industry. So, but one of the things that I learned very, very early on, you know, is that you have to tell the truth, because once someone catches you in a lie, you have lost all credibility. Mm-hmm. So it was always important to me when I went out and spoke to my customers that I told them both the good and the bad and allowed them to make educated decisions as to what choice that they would take and make. Here we have the government and the media colluding to lie to us. And for how long have they been telling us that Joe Biden is fine? Don't believe your lying eyes. Cheap fakes.
Sure.
How do we trust them with anything else? I mean, look, folks, if you have a relationship with someone and you catch them lying to you, do you trust them the next time they say something?
Mm-hmm.
Yet these people are all out there telling us that we have to vote blue.
Right.
Because President Trump will end democracy, right?
It's laughable. You know, and every time I hear that phrase thrown out, I know that I can't take somebody seriously. They have totally diluted the words fascist and the meaning of democracy and used it to turn into a cheap trick for their own advantage. And it's clear that they don't know what true tyranny or fascism looks like. And all they'd have to do is take a look around the world to see what it is that they could be living in. And they should be grateful to somebody like President Trump for showing a strong stance against those individuals and those powers around the world who are actually trying to perpetuate pure fascism and tyranny. It is comical, Sam, to say the least.
Well, I put out a post on X, you know, just saying that I don't want to hear another word from any of these Democrats claiming they're defending democracy while they voted against the SAVE Act.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the House the other day, which just would have said that you have to be an American citizen to vote in an American federal election.
Right.
I mean, to me, that is common sense.
Yes, sir.
But Summer Lee voted against it. Chris DeLuzio, Mr., and I'm making air quotes here, folks, defender of democracy, voted against it. And why? I mean, these folks came up with the most insane, racist statements I can believe. You know, they're saying that black and brown folks can't seem to get an ID or are too dumb to get an ID.
Yeah. Who was it that said most of these folks in the inner city when referring to people of color, don't even know what the internet is. I mean, I can't
That was New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
Unreal.
Who said that black children don't know what a computer
How
is.
How offensive.
Oh, exactly. Well, and what their statement is, this is the bigotry, the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I want to give those folks some news. Every country on the African continent, okay, requires voter ID. Every country in Latin America requires voter ID.
Amazing.
You needed voter ID in Afghanistan. You needed it in Iraq.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But we can't have it here. JD, I'm telling you, it's mind-boggling here.
Lunacy.
You know?
Lunacy.
And so we're going to finish this segment up here, and we'll pick this up again in the next segment.
Yes, sir.
But it is insane that these people purport to want to be defending our democracy at the same time they do everything that they can to subvert it, isn't it?
It's such a shame, Sam. But luckily, there are patriots on the ground like you and I, and all of our friends and family members who are going to make sure that that they answer for it.
We're going to do everything we can,
yes, sir.
That's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we'll be right back after the break. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, from The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm here in studio joined by my friend and fellow Marine, J.D. Longo, Mayor of Slippery Rock. And J.D., thank you again for coming down to the show. And we were just talking in the last segment. We were talking about how the Democrats voted against the SAVE Act this past week in Congress, which would have required only citizens to be able to vote in federal elections here, U.S. citizens. Now, thankfully, it passed, but we have to see what happens with it in the Senate.
Right.
But Joe Biden has already threatened to veto it. Now, how can the president who's out there campaigning that democracy is at stake, how can he sit there and refuse to support the integrity of our elections?
Right, right. It makes you wonder, Sam. You know, there are some And far be it from me to be a conspiracy theorist, and I use that word or that phrase lightly, because oftentimes today I see that anybody with a conservative air about their voice is called a conspiracy theorist. But unironically to us, most of these would have been conspiracies have actually come true. But many are saying that it's a deliberate attempt to try to ensure that the Democratic Party and platform are going to endure and staying in a position of power and influence for decades to come. When you look at the massive influx, and again, this is just what some are saying, but when you look at the massive influx of immigrants who are coming from Latin American and Central American countries, and sometimes that includes folks who are coming here illegally and undocumented. It's hard not to imagine a scenario where some Democrats might stoop so low as to open this border clearly, allow folks to get in, allow the mechanisms to vote in an election where, quite frankly, they should not be allowed to do so because they're not citizens, and then to take it a step further by offering even easier paths to amnesty and then eventually citizenship so that they can change the demographics of the United States drastically to ensure that Democratic candidates are going to continue to win over and over again. And again, this is just you know, some of the conjecture that you hear on the ground and from some political scientists. But when you take a step back and you look at it, it really makes you try to think and wonder if these folks in higher levels of government aren't deliberately trying to undermine American sovereignty and aren't deliberately trying to disenfranchise American citizens in our elections, then why aren't they willing to do more? And I'm talking specifically about Democrats, and unfortunately some Republicans, but most of them are Democrats who are not willing to take those steps to solidify what it is that you and I already know is the law of the land, and that is that non-citizens do not and should not have the right to interfere or meddle in our elections, period.
Right. Now, that has always been the law.
Right.
Okay. So the Democrats just say, well, it's already the law. You're absolutely right. But why do non-citizens keep ending up on voter rolls?
Right.
So I want to explain. There was federal litigation filed a number of years ago with the Department of State looking for complete access to non-citizen voter registration records. As part of that, Allegheny County election officials disclosed hundreds of pages detailing how non-citizens were regularly offered voter registration by government employees in third-party drives, despite language barriers and clear understandings as to what they were signing. With no comprehensive system for detecting and removing ineligible voters from the rolls, the majority of cancellations derive from these non-citizens self-reporting their own deportable offenses. And because it is an offense, these folks don't take and report. So, you know, my concern isn't that, you know, the 11 million that have just come over the border, you know, once they get to wherever town or city or county they're going to or rushing to the elections office. My concern is that because they're given Social Security numbers,
right,
once they're brought into the country and authorized to work, once they're given driver's licenses by these states, that there's a failure of many states to check the citizenship status of these folks when they're submitted these applications to register to vote. And you have that, all these third-party groups, we see it all the time. The former ACORN, which is now called OnePA, you know, SEIU group here in Pennsylvania, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, the Rock the Votes, all these, the Center for Voter Participation. Those are the folks that send out the pre-filled out mail-in ballots to everybody. They also send out voter registration forms, okay, to addresses and things of this nature. But if you're a non-citizen, you just got here.
Right.
You don't, the English isn't your first language.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're just, even if you're trying to do the right thing, you sit there and you get these things purportedly from the government.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe you're supposed to fill them out and send them in. And,
sure,
you know, the findings from that lawsuit, what Allegheny County officials shared, was that there had been at least 139 instances of non-citizen voter registration and eventual cancellation from 2006 to 2018. Now, these were all because these folks self-reported.
Right.
We have no idea how many were on there,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
27% of the non-citizens cast at least one ballot before removal.
Wow.
71% of those self-reported their ineligible registrations. They did so at great legal risk. Now, it turns out that 63% of those folks were registered in PennDOT transactions. Now, Allegheny County officials raised the alarm about the system failures with the Commonwealth back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't act on it. Now, after this lawsuit, the state PennDOT said, well, we're acting on it. They changed some things up there to make it clear, you know, that if you're non-citizen, you're not supposed to be able to register to vote in the whole bit. But that doesn't fix everything everywhere.
No, certainly not. And especially with automatic voter registration through the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation in Pennsylvania today, where is the infrastructure that's going to follow up with everybody to make sure that citizenship is actually clarified and it is proven in order to vote? To your point, Sam, there is no infrastructure, and Democrats don't seem to have any intention, just like they don't with the border, of putting infrastructure in place to make sure that the current laws that are on the books, which, by the way, they love to talk about so much and say, well, it's already the law of the land, so why do we need the SAVE Act? Well, the point is that there are all of these laws of the land that you and the Democratic Party are not enforcing. And so, therefore, if you really are with us, then we want to actually see you meet us at the table. Let's come to the center of the aisle and let's pass legislation that is going to ensure that no American citizen is ever disenfranchised. Because let's face it, Sam, one illegally cast ballot or vote is a disenfranchisement of every American voter.
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell you, I can sit here, folks, right hand up to God, I would swear it in a courtroom because I have the proof from the former director of elections in Allegheny County that we had non-citizens voting in at least three. This came back in 2017. He gave me this, at least three presidential elections.
Wow.
Some of them voted in multiple,
mm-hmm,
as well as municipal elections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, folks, it does happen. The SAVE Act was all about preventing it from happening. Okay.
Sure.
So this isn't an attack on anybody.
No.
This isn't racist. This isn't xenophobic, despite the hysteria could come from the left. All this is a way to ensure that every single American's vote counts.
Sam, I want to caveat this real quick, too, by mentioning to the audience, because I think it's something that a lot of folks don't know about me. I'm very proud, of course, of my Italian descent, as I know you are as well. So thank you for continuing to represent your Italian-American heritage here in your various levels of governance that you participate in. But I just want to say to anybody listening here that would like to try to twist the words of Sam or myself to make it seem like we are not agreeable to anybody other than the typical American citizen, some blonde-haired, blue-eyed individual I imagine Democrats like to think of from voting, is totally false. In fact, I'm going to tell you all something I don't talk about very often. My father, who came here from Italy, is still not an American citizen. He is a legal resident alien of the United States. Now, for me, somebody who's, you know, 34 years old, born and raised here in the United States, a local mayor and what have you, do I think that my father, a non-citizen, should be able to vote in our elections? I'm going to tell you the answer is no, and that's an easy answer for me. If my father wants to participate in elections, just like any other immigrant who comes here, they're expected to assimilate and do things the way that Americans do. Now, my dad pays taxes. He's a property owner. He doesn't break the law, tries to do his best. He goes to work and provides for his family. But when it comes to voting, he would never imagine even trying to cross that line because he understands the sacredness of it. It's almost, I call it to some of my political science students, it's like the American religion, right? Like outside of our love for God, it's our love for our democratic Republican processes.
Absolutely.
It very much is a sacred institution that we want to make sure that we are doing our best to preserve and defend.
Well, and see, you know, you talk about your father coming here. He did it the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, it didn't come across the border, you know, like right. So many millions of others have mm-hmm. recently, right?
Right.
Gaming the system, you know, calling out and saying that they were here for asylum.
Yeah.
And if your request is legitimate, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of these aren't. They're being used by the cartels.
Sure.
Okay, and they're being brought here and told this. And, you know, what folks don't know, I don't know how many of you people know this, but there are programs. We had this past week, it was on Monday, we launched Trump Force 47, which is the Trump campaign's get out the vote effort here in Allegheny County. We opened the office here, and we had former Homeland Secretary Chad Wolf, who served as the interim Homeland Secretary under President Trump, was here, and we talked about, I mean, if there are folks that come here as refugee status, and they're given like things like Social Security, they're given all of our benefits,
right?
Never paid into any of them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? And you hear the story of Biden flying almost 40,000 people a month
mm-hmm.
to different cities in this country,
yeah,
you know, from countries like Venezuela
mm-hmm.
and some of these other Latin American countries, which aren't necessarily that friendly to us.
Right, right.
I mean, and we have a Social Security system that's going to be broke in 2034.
Sure.
You know, if we don't do something, benefits will be cut. And this is what they're doing, you know, with your benefits, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
This, you know, we talk about projection, and the left always projects onto the right the mm-hmm. things that they're actually doing.
Right.
Okay. And this is a perfect example. They talk about defending democracy, and every single thing they do seems to be subverting it.
Absolutely.
You know, this seems like a clear attempt to crash the system, JD.
Certainly.
The Cloward and Piven strategy, sure, that so many of us, you know, are well aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't run $2 trillion budgets. You
no.
can't take entitlement programs that so many Americans count on, you know, and water them down and mm-hmm. empty the coffers by giving them
sure.
to folks who never paid a dime
mm-hmm.
you into these. You know, we can't have veterans homeless on the streets and putting migrants up in luxury hotels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, folks, we are at a breaking point here,
mm-hmm.
and we need to do what we can to restore greatness to this country. And, you know, I, without a doubt, and I believe JD does as well, believe that starts with electing former President Trump, reelecting him here in November, as well as folks like Dave McCormick and our other candidates, both up and down the ballot.
Certainly, certainly. And Sam, you brought up a really good point in relation to Social Security. So I want to tell our listeners now, that is a great thing to tell your neighbors and your friends who might be on the fence about Trump or Republican administration, because they've been listening to the lies of the Democratic Party and have been led to believe that Republicans are out to gut and take away Social Security from Americans who have earned it, those who have paid into the system their whole lives and have worked very hard. If anybody you know is on the fence about that, you remind them that the Biden administration is bringing in 40,000 people from outside of this country to come and take from the coffer that they haven't paid into, in particular Social Security,
mm-hmm.
Without paying into it. And you remind them that it's not Republicans that you should be worried about when it comes to gutting Social Security. It should be the Democratic Party who are allowing for folks to come and take advantage of those programs that Americans are expecting they should be able to enjoy after having worked their whole lives to earn. That's your problem right there. If you want to keep Social Security alive, then please tell the Biden administration via your vote in November that you don't want 40,000 people coming into this nation every month who are going to apply for Social Security benefits and take away from what it is that you should expect and what you deserve.
Well, absolutely. And listen, you know, we've talked about disinformation and misinformation. Get ready for it as well. You're seeing it already. They claim that Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare. And we just spent a couple minutes going over the Democrats who are looting Social Security to pay for these folks that they're bringing into the country. Medicare. How many of our seniors know that Joe Biden just created the biggest Medicare cut we've had in history? He's increased the premiums for Medicare Advantage. Wow. You know, the premiums have gone up like $33. It's costing the average senior who's on a fixed income to begin with an additional $400 a year. He's charging them all to try to weaken this system because they want to get to a Medicare for all, you know, healthcare plan. And folks, I mean, you know, you look at the NHS in the UK and you can see that, I mean, who wants to wait months or years to see a specialist or to get treatment? That's what would happen if that were to occur. But it's the Democrats that are taking and looting Social Security and Medicare. Just want to make sure that it's clear. When I see polls that say, well, the majority of seniors are leaning toward Biden, I can't understand why.
Right.
You know, but it's because there's so much going on. No one's bringing this information to them. And it's just, I don't know. We just get buried or deluged with all the things that are taking place. You know, and if folks lose focus. We can't afford to do that. That's part of what this show is about. We want to bring the information to you, the listeners, so you're able to talk to your family and friends and make them aware of what's happening so that come November, they can vote the right way.
Yes, sir.
You got the big man in town tonight.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to make an announcement because you have the convention next week.
Right. So I'm
really, if he'll do that.
I'm praying, Sam, you know, what an honor it would be for Donald J. Trump to arrive in Butler County, Pennsylvania, and to announce to the entire world who his running mate is going to be. You know, part of me, the optimist in me is hoping that we're going to be there to witness that piece of history. But yes, you know, the RNC coming up right after that event. And so it's imminent now, any moment. But the question, of course, is who's it going to be? You know, there are lots of prospective individuals. We hear some really, really great names tossed around out there. The one that comes to mind off the top of my head is Senator J.D. Vance, a fellow Devil Dog and Marine who we love and respect. I got the chance briefly to run into Senator Vance at a Turning Point conference in Detroit recently. Nobody can argue with who he is as an American, very well-polished individual. But Sam, before we started the show today, we were talking a little bit about what a danger that might be and pose to the United States Senate and for the potential for success should a Trump administration occur again in 2025.
Yeah, I'm just concerned because I think I've had the opportunity to meet and listen to J.D. Vance speak at a Republican State Committee meeting here a couple months ago. Phenomenal job, great speaker, makes the argument for why we need to reelect President Trump and what's at stake in this election more than anything else. You know, Democrats will try to take and make both Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico a state, you know, enshrining a permanent Democrat majority in the Senate by giving them two senators each. Democrats will take and try to pack the Supreme Court, you know, thereby destroying hundreds of years of tradition and, you know, bringing, again, you can see it, folks, they're continuously attacking them now. But there's so much at stake. He does a great job. But my concern is if he were to take and become the nominee and President Trump was elected, then that would take his Senate seat, which he's only been there 2 years.
Right.
But it would put it up for re-election again in 2026, which is going to be the midterms.
Sure.
Would be the midterms of President Trump's first term. And you know Democrats would be energized.
Absolutely.
Okay? And so I hate to see you know, that take place. I think he'd be a great guy to do it. Doesn't have a lot of government experience.
Right.
You know, he served, he was a counsel, and he was a legal counsel, I'm saying.
Yes.
In the tech industry. He worked for Peter Thiel.
Right.
Okay? But I just don't know
where
he would be there. But we were talking about some other folks. Now, we both have a mutual admiration for a gentleman from Florida. You want to talk about him?
Absolutely, yeah. Marco Rubio. And, you know, I hear mixed messages and signals from Republicans on the ground all the time about about Marco Rubio. But oftentimes, the only qualms I ever hear about Senator Rubio are only those that are related to his run against Donald Trump. But outside of that, I think that would be a fantastic VP pick. And you and I just talked about how vital it is that Republicans are reaching Latin American voters here in the United States this cycle, because it's one of the largest and fastest growing voter blocks, if not the, in the United States today. Just imagine how the Latin American community would feel having a Cuban American give representation to them and their voice on that ticket. What a great opportunity it would be to counter the typical Democrat lean that we see in the Hispanic and Latin American voter blocks here in the United States. What do you think, Sam?
Well, I'd be excited about Senator Rubio. I mean, I really like him. I think he's an aspirational figure.
Sure.
You know, and certainly an aspirational speaker. It complicates things a little bit, because both President Trump and him, you know, have Florida as their as their residence, right? So there's President Trump might have to make some changes there or whatever, maybe.
Yes, sir.
Pick a residency at one of his other properties.
Hopefully not back to New York, right? Oh, we're done with them.
I think he's done with them, yes.
Boycott New York. I'm still on that. I'm still on that one.
But so it complicates a little bit, but I think he'd be a great, great pick. I still, for whatever reason, I don't know, I still have this feeling that the president's going to try to surprise us and go outside. And even though he's mentioned a number of folks, Governor Burgum,
right,
Senator Rubio, Senator Vance, Senator Scott.
Right.
Okay. I wonder, Governor Youngkin from Virginia. Now, the governor is a successful governor. He has good approval ratings there. That's a purple state.
Yes, sir.
You know, that could help clinch the, that state for President Trump. He's also somebody that the establishment would find acceptable.
Right.
You know, they could take and calm anybody that might be concerned about, jumping on board that isn't already on board.
Absolutely.
With President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, for whatever reason, I just feel there's a surprise coming.
Sure.
Because President Trump likes to be unpredictable.
Yes, sir.
Right? So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'll be paying attention here. If I see Governor Youngkin at the rally on Saturday.
I wouldn't be surprised, and he has a great charisma. And to your point, he's somebody that I think can reach across the aisle and quell some fears that might come from what some might say an ultra-conservative ticket. But, to that point, I do think that Governor Youngkin has been a conservative candidate in his own right. And it's important to remember that while he's representing his state as the governor, that that he's being careful to trawl through this political landscape in order to deliver for conservative principles in his state. But, you have that same feeling, or not quite, but you have that same feeling with Doug Burgum in North Dakota, because he's another candidate, of course, or potential pick. And I think that's why his name is being tossed around, because he's not going to be a controversial pick. And so, therefore, it's somebody that everybody could get along with. But I think that's a really great, guess. And, I'll buy you a beer if that ends up happening. That would be quite a turn.
Well, I'll accept.
Yes, sir.
The other reason, folks, I come up with that is because Virginia governors are term limited to one term. So, Governor Youngkin is not going to be able to run for re-election there. And I just thought that was a natural. Now, I don't know what the situation is for Governor Burgum up in North Dakota.
Sure.
And how much longer he has to go in his term, or is he able to run for re-election?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you a little bit more about that right now. I've been so steeped in Pennsylvania politics over these last few years, but especially right now during the cycle, Sam, that I got to be honest with you and tell you, I haven't done my homework on that particular potential VP pick. But mostly it's because I don't think it's going to be him. Right. So my attention has certainly been turned towards some of these other individuals. Now, there's one crowd favorite that we have yet to discuss yet. And I wonder what your thoughts are on it, too. Dr. Ben Carson.
Well, I can tell you, I love Dr. Carson, okay? And he has a Pittsburgh connection. I had a good friend that Al Costa was an oral surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Al when he was in college, okay? And, actually, he was my dentist for quite a while. But, Al moved, got into property and everything like that. He's a developer. But Al had become good friends many years ago with Dr. Carson.
Wow.
And he was bringing him in to Pittsburgh for different things in regards to his foundation well before the political days. And I've had the opportunity to meet with Dr. Carson a number of times and have meals with him when he was the head of HUD.
Oh, wow.
So I think he's a phenomenal job there. I just don't know that he's the guy that we'd be looking for to be the vice president.
Yes, sir.
I think, look, I just personally, I think the guy's qualifications are off the charts, his intelligence, mm-hmm. everything. But I just like to have a little bit more experience there. And I think as President Trump goes into this, you know, and he's going to have this tremendous battle mm-hmm. when he gets to D.C.,
right?
Okay, it would help to have somebody there that really understands the swamp.
Certainly.
And how to circumvent it mm-hmm. in order to be able to try to take and drain it.
Right, and that's where Senator Rubio would come in, absolutely. Nobody can argue with his experience in Washington. And, furthermore, too, I'd just like to say my only reservation about a Dr. Ben Carson VP pick would be that he doesn't have extreme connectivity to any one state, really, whereas a lot of these other candidates, governors and senators alike, are going to be able to deliver key swing states for us should the president want to investigate a VP pick in one of them. Mm-hmm. Certainly going to be exciting whenever he says, and I say, no matter who it is, I know we're all in for him, Sam, and we're going to hit the ground running and make sure they get over the finish line.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you and I may be overthinking this because we're talking about, you know, helping the president by bringing in a critical swing state. But, man, J.D., the polls are showing the president ahead in all seven swing states.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Just differs by the varying amounts. He's ahead in seven swing states, outside the margin of error in five.
Right.
You know, so things are definitely headed in the right direction. And I don't know what the Democrats are going to try to pull, but I don't know that whatever it is, that it will be enough.
I think you're right, Sam.
Just 1 minute here. When we start talking,
thank you.
We run out of time
brother.
Yeah,
but of course.
You have the next 60 seconds.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say what a pleasure it's been sitting here talking about all things Republican and political here in Western Pennsylvania and across the United States. Looking forward to continuing to work on the ground with you, Sam, and your great committee to the benefit of our region and Western Pennsylvania and conservative ideals. And I look forward to seeing you sometime real soon, sir.
You got it, my friend. And hey, listen. Good luck tonight at the rally.
Thank you.
And good luck next week at the convention.
I appreciate you, sir.
All right. You take care, my friend. Folks, that is Mayor J.D. Longo, Marine. And, we're happy to have him here on the show.
Thank you.
Until next week, folks. This is Sam DeMarco, the elephant in the room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great weekend.